One of the things you may have noticed in worshiping with us is that you see small children partaking of the Lord's Supper. This is sometimes called paedo-communion. Like baptism, this is an issue that is straddled by our denomination, the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches. Just as we welcome and accommodate those who believe in infant baptism, as well as those who do not, so we welcome and accommodate those who believe in paedo-communion and those who do not. Nevertheless, the conviction of the leadership of this church and of many CREC churches in general is in favor of both paedo-baptism and paedo-communion. That is, that all those who have received Christian baptism, including infants, should receive communion. And I want to take just a moment to explain why. And I want to start with the proposition that union with Christ, which is what baptism represents, and communion with Christ, which is what the Lord's Supper represents, go together and ought not to be given to separate groups of people in the church. Now, this is something that we and Baptists agree on. Those who were baptized should be admitted to the Lord's table. But there are other Christian groups, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who separate the two, saying that children of believers should be baptized, but should not be admitted to the table until profession of faith, which is sometimes called confirmation and sometimes pinned to a certain age, age 12, for example. Now, I want to submit that we as Christians have a tendency to overcomplicate these issues. It really boils down to this. Number one, how does God view the children of his children? How does he view the children of believers? Does he view them as orphans, or does he claim them as his own? Well, as we looked a few weeks ago when we talked about baptism, we can see clearly from such scripture texts as Ezekiel chapter 17 that God views the children of believers as his children first and their children second. God asserts that the children were his from birth, quite apart from circumcision, baptism, or any other covenant sign. In other words, God asserts what every new Christian parent instinctively knows, and that is that God himself has given them that child. And consistent with that, God calls believing parents to raise his children in his faith, beginning with giving them his mark and sign, which is an indication of being part of his family and under his fatherhood. Now, as I said, believing parents of every stripe instinctively know this, and so they instinctively teach their little ones to believe, to obey God's word, to pray, to confess their sins, to thank God for forgiveness and all blessings, and they teach them that from the very earliest age. Now, having established that, I want to submit that it is not proper, biblically speaking, it is not best, it is not wise to declare to children through baptism and all of these other ways that they are part of God's family, and then to declare to them by excluding them from the family meal that they are not part of his family. And though our Baptist brethren are consistent in giving baptism and communion to the same group of people, they still fall into the difficult position of treating their children as God's children in terms of daily Christian habits that they bring them up in, but then treating them as orphans when it comes to God's formal signs of family membership, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. The children then end up coming up in the church with mixed signals, confused signals. And one of the most dangerous things about it is that it basically signals to the children that believing and walking with God on a daily basis, which is the way their parents have brought them up from the beginning, they're signaled that that's not enough, that there's some other kind of experience or event that's necessary for them really to be brought into God's family. Now, to understand why we as Christians have the impulse to, on the one hand, act like our children are part of God's family in some ways, while declaring that they are not in other ways, we need to realize, first of all, that this does not come from a bad heart. Okay? It may come from a bit of a confused heart, but it does not come from a bad heart. This impulse comes from a sincere and godly desire to avoid two things which have afflicted God's people ever since the fall. Two things that we should never want to see in God's household. And that is externalism and nominalism. The false belief that rituals, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, give one a license to be like the Pharisees who opposed Jesus. They had all the outward signs and none of the inward realities of a true relationship with God. So they were nominal believers, believers in name only, because they trusted in the external signs and rituals rather than in the God who gave them. And this all led to an attitude of covenant presumption. That is, the idea that because they were in the covenant and bore its signs, that they were good. They needed nothing else. Nothing more could be expected of them. They lost sight of the fact that the covenant status demands a covenant heart of love and faithfulness. These two things go together. God has joined together the objectivity of membership in the covenant and the external signs and rituals. He's joined that together with the covenant heart of love and faith toward God. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But we're experts at putting it asunder, as we see with the Pharisees. So there is a laudable desire to avoid the perpetuation of that kind of presumption in the church. We want to discourage that, not encourage it. We don't want to do anything to encourage tares in the Lord's wheat field or chaff in his granary. And all sincere Christians should agree on that. Where we get off course, I want to submit, is that we as Christians have a long history of trying to fight covenant presumption with covenant doubt. We want to head off presumption by basically saying to people, we're not sure you're a member of God's family. In other words, we're not sure you're really a Christian. Withholding baptism and or the Lord's Supper are ways of signaling that. The first thing we should realize now, just from a pragmatic standpoint, is that this approach does not work. Nominal Christians, presumptuous Christians, are just as prevalent in Baptist circles as they are in Paedo-Baptist circles. And they are just as prevalent in non-Paedo-Communion circles as they are in Paedo-Communion circles. So our attempts to control covenant presumption through covenant doubt does not work. But aside from that, when we look closely at this method theologically, it is easy to see why it doesn't work. And let me illustrate this by using one of the most prevalent analogies that God uses in the Bible for his covenant union with his people, and that is the covenant union of husband and wife in marriage. Now, in the context of a marriage covenant, a presumptuous spouse is not one that is too sure they're married. It is one who knows they're married but doesn't care. In other words, they have the externals of marriage, but not the heart. Now, let's say that you're dealing with such a person. Would you ever try to help them by saying, I'm not sure you're really married? No. That's the worst thing you could do, because it will lead them to even more presumption, leading them to believe even more that it doesn't matter what they do or what is in their heart. Instead, you would say to this person, look, you are married, but you aren't acting like it because you don't care. You need to get your heart engaged so that your heart and your status line up with one another. In other words, you would affirm their objective covenant status as a means of calling them to have the heart that goes with it. And this, I would submit, is exactly the biblical position. We see God doing exactly this over and over in the Old Testament and in the New. And I would suggest that this is the biblical approach for controlling covenant presumption. Now, in a fallen world, nothing works 100% of the time. And so when over time, someone persistently refuses to have the heart and behavior that goes with covenant status, Jesus commands us to put them out of his family, that is, to excommunicate them, which is simply a way of telling the person, we believe you. You've been telling us and the world in the loudest way possible that despite your covenant status, you're not really and you don't want to be God's child and Christ's disciple. And reluctantly, we have to say, okay, we believe you. And Jesus commands us now to make your covenant status line up with your heart and your behavior. Now, this whole approach is one that Jonathan Edward employed with his own children. He called it grabbing his children by their baptism. He would, when his children had a wrong heart and wrong behavior, he would remind them of the fact that they are Christians, they're members of God's household, that God's sign, that his claim was upon them, and that they needed to have the heart and the behavior that goes with this. I would submit this is exactly the approach that we should take, and we should also grab our children by the Lord's Supper. When you sit at God's table as a member of his family, that means that you're supposed to show a family resemblance. You're supposed to reflect the heart and character of the head of the household, which is God himself. Now, this is God's own way of encouraging true heart religion and avoiding covenant presumption. We accomplish the opposite result when we declare to our children that they are God's children, members of his household in some ways, and yet in other ways we declare to them that they are not. We are depriving our children of spiritual food and strength. We are basically bidding them to be spiritually strong while starving them. And we're depriving ourselves as Christians and parents of one of God's prime tools for calling our children away from presumption and toward a true, heartfelt walk with God. I trust you will consider these things prayerfully, and thus I submit them to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.